Backstage with Mothership on Solid Rock Radio begins now. Hear the best in new music, artist interviews, stories from the road, and more. You are now backstage, and here's your host, Mothership.
Hi, everybody. Fight the Darkness is a ministry that I wanted to highlight for you this week. I will give a trigger warning that some of the content is intense. Let's have a listen. Aaron and Amanda, good to see you guys again. I wanted to let people know more about you and your ministry, Fight the Darkness. Let's start with you, Aaron.
My name is Aaron Rule. I started a ministry back in 2013 to help others with depression, suicides, injury, bullying, drugs, alcohol. Why I started it was I was bullied in high school and middle school, and I was like severely bullied. Where I actually had injuries caused from all the bullying. My freshman year, I was on school grounds. I got hit by a big piece of blacktop, hit me right in the head.
Big piece of blacktop?
Yeah.
Good grief.
The doctor said I was really lucky, but I got a concussion, and I have headaches all the time from that. And then I also, my sophomore year, I was running, got tripped, fractured my right arm. Because the kid wanted to take my basketball spot on the basketball team, and that's why he did it. And the next year, I had to have a knee surgery, basically scope surgery from the fall. They had moved my kneecap up, took out tissue. I had complications from a surgery where my knee swelled up so badly that doctors don't lose my right leg. So I was on crutches normally for a scope surgery. You're on crutches for like a week or so, but I was on crutches for about 9 months to relearn how to walk on my right leg because of how bad the swelling got. And from that, you know, I grew up going to Youth for Christ since middle school. So my junior year, I was like, I want to be a youth pastor. And I kind of grew up, you know, in Youth for Christ, which is a youth group here in the area.
I'm familiar with it.
And so I was wanted to go to it, and I decided I want to be a youth pastor from it, from going to that. So I was on IEPs and learning disabilities, and I've had ADHD and in high school and middle school. And this college that, you know, I was interested in going to, they accepted me. They're like, oh, yeah, we'll be able to accommodate you through all the challenges you had in your past. So they accepted me. I was there for about a month, and the school wanted me to go to the dean's office. So I did. And they were like, we cannot succeed here at this college, and we want you to leave. Because we don't think you're be able to succeed there at college, like perform really well. I was shocked with like testing and all that because of my learning disability. And so that night, my friend's brother goes there. So he actually brought me home on the break. Because they had like a spring break. So that night he brought me home with all my stuff that I took with me to college. And I just felt worthless in my life because I'm like, I'm not going to be able to succeed. You know, I see all my friends going to college, getting degrees and all that. And I was like, I'm not going to be able to do anything in my life. I was like, I hate my life and everything. So I decided to go get painkillers from my parents' room. So I told God, if this person does not answer, I'm going to kill myself. This person actually answered and wondering and talked me out of doing it. And in 2013, I started the ministry, you know, where I share my story, what I dealt with, and everything I've gone through in my life. And last year, I met Amanda, and she joined the ministry, and she has an amazing testimony of her own.
Tell me a little bit, Aaron, more about how you came to know Jesus.
I accepted Christ in my life back in freshman year. I knew who Christ was in middle school. He was a high schooler, and I was in like early middle school. Like he was thinking of a peer mentor that he was like helped with this Youth for Christ. Mm-hmm. So he was like, "You should go here," because he knew I was being bullied. Like somebody And the school system told him I was being bullied. So he introduced me to going for Youth for Christ. So I gone there for a while. And in the winter of my freshman year, they take kids to go to a camp. They go associated with this church in Bluffton, where they take them for winter retreats and summer retreats. So I decided to do the winter retreat. And the last night of the camp, it's called Miracle Camp, they did an altar call. And, you know, I felt God wanted me to accept in my life. And I felt God, you know, because I'm like, you know, God knows I'm going through bullying and everything. And, you know, I put my life fully in Jesus because I knew I was struggling with bullying and that throughout high school, middle school. Mm-hmm. So that's when I accepted my life into Christ the last night of camp.
Wow. Amanda, tell us your story.
Okay. I have a rather complex story. I moved around quite a bit as a child because my dad was Walmart management, and they used to not tell them when they were going to either promote them or send them to different stores. So by the time I was like a high schooler, I'd gone to around like 7 different schools in quite a few cities. And so I had awful crimes committed to me, like when I was a small child. I had a babysitter who sexually abused me. He was my next door neighbor. And so that made me delve into not so good coping mechanisms. I ended up being socially inept. I cut myself. I ended up having a really bad eating disorder. And then when I was 13, I started my addiction to alcohol. And then I would do anything to escape the mindset. I had gone to church as a child and as a middle schooler, but then I kept falling out and going back and falling out and going back until my giant accident. So by the time I was, when it happened, I was 26. I had been to pretty much every ER in Northwest Ohio and Southeast Michigan for overdoses and alcohol poisoning. And I was at like an emaciated weight because all I did was spend money on booze and drugs. So I'd wake up from overdoses and alcohol poisoning and then get sent back home where I'd try and then fail and keep going back and forth. And June 1st, 2018, I had been with this abusive man for almost 4 years. He had all control over me. He had all my passwords to everything. He had like my bank account stuff. So if he saw that I got something that I didn't like, or he didn't want to like want me to leave or even go to my parents' house, he'd shut off my debit card. So I didn't even have access to my own money. I was like a puppet, a marionette. But June 1st, 2018, I had gone to my parents' house last minute after I was physically attacked. And in the middle of the night, I was sleepwalking, probably trying to go to the bathroom. And I chose the wrong door. I fell down 15 wooden stairs and landed face first on the concrete basement floor. Mm. It crushed the entire frontal portion of my skull and my eye sockets. I had respiratory failure twice. Well, pretty much. I had a stridor attack and respiratory failure. I had to be emergency thrown to St. Vincent Hospital because everything in my frontal lobe was destroyed. I was supposed to be blind. I was supposed to be comatose for the rest of my life because I had less than a 10% chance of waking up. I was supposed to have tracheal breathing tube for the rest of my life. I was supposed to be severely disabled. I was basically supposed to be comatose and incapable of anything for the rest of my life. I was hospitalized for over a year
Wow.
Between St. Vincent, and then I had to be life flighted to the Cleveland Clinic, and then back to St. Vincent, and then I was at UTMC, and then, or before that, it was Northwest Ohio Rehabilitation Hospital. And then I did all of my, like, physical therapy and all of the other stuff at UTMC. Oh, crazy part.
Oh, wait a minute. There's a crazy part? I died
three times.
Oh, no.
The crazier part.
You died three times.
I died three times. Over 5 minutes.
Wow. That is a
yeah, they're
part.
About to pull the plug and God sent me back.
Wow.
So after this accident,
what do you remember?
I remember a lot of it because people don't understand when you're comatose, your body's just jacked up and your soul's not.
Really? Could hear what was going on and everything, but just couldn't respond.
I could see and hear, and because you're not in your body, your soul is separate from your body. Your body is destroyed, but you're not stuck in there.
Wow.
But here you are.
What I was still able to do was play guitar and piano.
Really?
My parents got me a Fender ukulele when I was still bedbound, and I knew how to strum it and where to put my hands and everything. And then when I was able to come home like a couple days a week, I went upstairs, grabbed my guitar, went back downstairs, plopped on the floor and started playing and singing. I could barely do anything else, but I still knew how to play.
Isn't that crazy?
Mm.
Do you like to sing publicly?
Yeah, I did recently.
Yeah, I was at a camp, and we did it here in Ohio. She loves Torrin Wells. And
I was wearing a Torrin Wells shirt that says All God's Children on the front, and then the back says This Is Our Fight. And the praise band was doing like songs, and they were like, trying to come up with what else they're going to do. And I was like, I stood in front of them and I was like, you guys should sing this song. It's really like what people are going through nowadays, especially like people our age and younger, because it's all God's children made in his image, perfectly loved, worthy of freedom. So they said that they would play it if I sang it.
Because that was Spring Arbor University. Yeah. Because Asbury was also there.
Yeah.
Asbury University's worship team.
I have this musical talent that I can sing harmony on anything you throw my way, even if I don't know the song.
That's impressive.
I sang harmony on everything else.
You mentioned Torrin Wells. I have a story.
Mm-hmm.
There was a concert in Atlanta, and I believe it would be around 2012, something like that. He was opening up for Fireflight. It was kind of a small crowd, and I was sitting in a chair before the concert. He walked past me, and I asked him to tell me more about his new band, Royal Taylor.
And they did not even have the CD out yet. I gave them the money, and they gave me a piece of paper that said that I had bought it, and then they sent it in the mail later and have an autographed copy of it.
He really impressed me that night. What a voice. Really great guy.
Well, how did you come to know the Lord?
My accident... I basically woke up a completely different person. Before my accident, I was an addict. I was a workaholic because you got to get money for the habits that I had. I didn't talk to any family members. I was like drawn away from them by my ex. I was basically severely diseased mentally, physically. But when I woke up from my coma and healed, I had no cravings for anything that I had done before. I never got angry. I never got sad. I never got annoyed. And funny fact, I can't even cuss in my head.
That part of your brain just went away.
Like, literally. Yeah. But it's just absolutely psychotic. And it's an amazing miracle.
Wow.
My body is a literal scrapbook.
Yeah. Wow. Who knew that you were going to have a different mission after that? So did someone share the gospel with you at that time? Or
Kind of. I just woke up, and as you're healing, you have to relearn absolutely everything from a traumatic brain injury. I had to relearn how to walk, how to talk, how to swallow even. But I kept asking my mom, can I go to church? Like, when's church? I need to go to church. And so she would have to take me there and then have them tell me it's not Sunday.
Wow. What a story.
Yeah. As I said, I woke up completely different and I'm so much stronger. My body might be weak, but my soul is so strong.
Man. So how long have y'all known each other?
Since September of last year.
Yeah.
Because we met on Christian Mingle. And I was going through a really rough part of my life at that time. I was actually married. And then my ex-wife left for me last year on my birthday of last year and came home to everything gone in the apartment. And that was just so devastating. But I kept my faith strong. I would go to church. When I met her, my ex-wife, she would not go to church. You know, when we first met, we went to church and then she stopped going to church for some odd reason, but I kept, you know, strong in the faith. And so my birthday of last year, I came home and from work and everything was gone. And she basically left like 2 weeks after she left me. There was pictures posted on Facebook of her with another guy. You know, I knew she cheated on me. And I was just, you know, devastated. But then God helped me through that situation in my life. And then September of last year, I met her on Christian Mingle. And she was supportive throughout the whole situation until we officially, me and my ex-wife got our divorce back in February of this year, because it took so long because she kept running from them trying to serve her paperwork for the divorce. So that's how we met. So she's been through the hard times in my life, and now it's just the great times in my life because she, you know, wants to join the ministry I, you know, came up with to help others that are dealing with like tough things in their life, like suicide, alcohol, depression, and like other things in their life that they're dealing with in their lives.
Well, people are going to want to know, are you a couple?
She has a promise ring. So
Yeah, she has a promise ring and she just put her head on his shoulder. So yes, that's official. You're a couple and you're a ministry. Well, congratulations.
We want to get married here eventually.
We're already talking and planning.
Very good.
I got to tell you the crazy coincidences that we have in common. Yeah, we both have green eyes. We're both left-handed. Both of our dads are immigrants and a bunch of other really crazy stuff.
Mm-hmm. Wow. So you started the ministry yourself, but she's decided to join you. How did that come about?
Yeah, I basically started back in 2013 and she joined it. As soon as we met, I told her about the ministry and she's like, this is amazing. I really want to be part of this. Because I've been traveling. Before I met her, I've traveled all over like Kentucky, Michigan, all over Ohio, West Virginia, pretty much anywhere that God called me to going to, and just sharing the stage with some incredible people. And since then, she's joined, we've shared the stage with more incredible people in the Christian music scene.
Now, you seem to kind of gravitate towards rock and metal. Is that correct?
That's where I started the ministry. Back in 2013, this guy I've met out of Indiana, he doesn't do shows anymore. My first show was a metal show, but there was only one Christian band on it, and it was the band Forever at Last. But the other bands were The Color Morale, Ice Nine Kills, Color In Me, which are not even Christian bands.
Right.
So that's where I kind of started the ministry of going into the metal scene, because that's where the most hurting people are that are dealing with depression, suicide, and bullying in their lives. But now I want to go through the whole scene, like not just the metal scene, just like anywhere we feel like we're called to. It could be the worship, you know, contemporary worship. It could be any rap music. We're called to any kind of genre.
Mm. Are you a nonprofit?
Yes.
Yeah. We have like a donation box.
Yeah, we do donation box, and
we sponsor this little girl from Compassion International.
So you have ministry partners. Tell us some of the ministry partners you guys have.
I know Compassion International is one of them.
To Write Love on Her Arms, The Hands and Feet, Destiny Rescue, The Hope Line.
What does that mean to be a ministry partner with them?
We help her get their name out there, who they are, and just get information from these organizations into people's hands. Because these are ministry partners that love what I do, and they support what I do.
And so we have a professional to give the people that open up to us, because we can't be their counselors. We can't be their full-time help. So if you give them, like, professional people to go and fix their problems with.
Great. That's what I was going to ask, is what kind of resources do you have? So you have maybe literature or information that you give out to the people that have specific needs?
Yeah. That's with The Right Love in Arms is a suicide awareness organization. And then the Hope Line is a Christian line where people can go online and talk. Or there's that phone number they can call where they can talk to someone professionally and help them through whatever they're going through in their lives for free.
So I know that you go up on the stage and you have a time where you get to share your message. But how do you reach out to people and say, hey, I'm here. Can, you know, we're interested in being part of your event? Or how do you do that?
I pretty much email a bunch of different festivals and youth groups and concerts. Like, we're open to doing conferences, festivals.
Anywhere we can.
Yeah, anywhere we're called to, or anywhere that is a need for us to, you know, come speak.
We're not picky at all.
All right. I saw on your site that it said veteran owned, and Amanda, you're a veteran.
Yep.
Are you a veteran as well, Aaron?
No.
I'm the one that knows how to shoot.
Share a little bit about your service.
I was a 74 Delta in the Army, which is a chemical, biological, radiological, nuclear specialist. I was also one of the national anthem singers at the 3rd Chemical Brigade at Fort Leonard Wood.
Girlfriend.
Yeah. So all of the upper cadre had to be nice to me when I was going to sing at an event. I wasn't just a private there. Y'all have no idea what I'm talking about, but the other veterans will.
Okay. So did you get recruited out of high school?
No, it was an all of a sudden escape from my ex. I'm a veteran's daughter.
Okay.
So I had good advice from him, and like, I was raised with good old Army values and a good structured life. But I figured I could get out from where I was in the military.
And it kind of rounded you out a little bit.
Yeah.
Now, with your ministry, are there some stories that you might want to share of some people that you were able to help?
We had one at Kingdom Come, actually, this year. It was really cool. Was this kid kept coming up to our table, you know, just talking to us.
Over and over again.
Yeah. Huh. And we gave him a Bible. And that night, it was when Chaotic Resemblance was on stage and did their altar call. He was one of the first people to go up and accept Christ in his life. And then the next day, we put our chairs out, like, kind of in the back. The next day, we were sitting there just watching the opening acts of the day. He sits right next to us with his family and has the Bible that we gave him, had post-it notes in it, and you could tell it was highlighted, and he was looking in his Bible.
What does that feel like?
Incredible.
It was incredible.
And I've helped a couple other girls that have come up to me, because I talk about, like, mental illness and all of that kind of stuff, like, from a girl's perspective. And so they've come to me with their like cutting and like eating disorder stuff, and I'm able to give them clear-cut professional from a survivor's advice. So people don't understand, if you're talking to a recovered addict, a recovered emotional disease person, we have more good advice than just a random person, because we've gone through it. We know the coping mechanisms. We know the mindset. Mm-hmm. And so it's easier to open up to us and find some answers and feel comfortable finding the answers.
Amen.
Another, this is quite a few years ago. It was in Indiana. It was mm-hmm. with the Midnight Wedding, Manifest, and Seventh Day Slumber. And there's this kid. I went on right before Manifest. And the kid came up to me and said, he was like, I felt God calling me to come to this. And he was actually going to commit suicide that night.
Wow.
After the concert. And just because of what I said on stage, he did not want to commit suicide then. And I got connected to the pastor at that church.
Where do you want your ministry to be in 5 years?
We want to travel the country. We want to go anywhere God is calling us to. We want to, you know, go coast to coast and just, you know, share our stories of what we've gone through.
We want to be able to make it full time.
Yeah, we want to do full time ministry.
And have God's work be the main focus in our lives.
Right now, do you have other jobs that you're doing?
Yes, I work for Walmart, but that's not what I want to do. I want to do full time ministry. Because I love what we, you know, what we do, and that's what I would do full time.
And I'm not working anywhere right now because my mom had oral cancer, and I spent every waking moment taking care of her. And so she's healing really well, and I'm going to get back to work after summer's over. My mom's oral, like a surgery, they had to take out 5 teeth, her palate, her jawbone, and her surgery was longer than all 3 of my craniotomies. 8 hours. Mm-hmm. She's a super trooper.
Wow. Well, we pray that y'all make it to where you want to be, which is out on the road full time. Do you have like a travel trailer or anything, or is that something in the horizon?
We actually just put everything in the back of my Ford Escape.
And I'm a puzzle master. I can get it all to fit in there. Can I?
That's from her time in the Army.
Yeah.
I can get like a month worth of clothes in a rucksack.
Of course you can. Tell me how people can get in touch with you.
We have Facebook and Instagram and an email. I run both of the pages and Aaron runs the email. And we get notifications on our phones if we get a message or like something else with the page. And so we're able to dive immediately to speak to the person.
In the Get to Know You division, what are your favorite snacks?
Oh, that is hard. I love food.
I bake for him.
That is a hard question.
Okay, we're going to stick to snacks. How about the snacks? If you go on a trip somewhere, what do you got to have in the car?
I love Oreos.
Yeah.
That's solid.
Yeah.
I like trail mix and anything with peanut butter. That's one of my favorite foods.
Okay. What have you guys got coming up?
We actually have an event next weekend. It's a kind of a local event. It's called Jammin' for Jesus.
What is the date on that one?
July 29th. Yeah. It's okay. With
Justice 316, Monarchs to Oblivion, Word Rat, Chains Off, Under the Blood, Weapons of God.
So this will air the Monday after that event. What else have you got coming up?
We're doing a festival called Inspiration Festival. It just got announced mm-hmm. September 15th. It's with Ignescent.
Oh, yeah.
Josh from The Protest is actually doing an acoustic set.
Uh-huh.
And they're having E3. That's a rapper. And then another person. And then we are speaking on that too.
Yeah.
And then we're also doing Pit Fest.
Yeah.
Pit Fest. Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, that's great. All right. Well, I've enjoyed my time with you. Have a good night.
Praying for much success with your ministry.
Right. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening. Stay tuned for more great music. And check out my blog page on the Solid Rock Radio website for my guests' social media links. If you've missed any of my past interviews, you can find them uploaded to podcast.solidrockradio.org. Have a wonderful week, and let's be kind to one another.